Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs.
sang it again. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
In the studio, but she is on mute, and she will be coming into the session a little later. So we want to welcome you into the studio on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to join us, and we pray that tonight's show will be a blessing to all those listening in. I want to start off tonight with a prayer, because tonight's subject could get really touchy, and what I also want to do is for you all that are listening in, I want to give you an opportunity. Call a girlfriend, call your sister, your cousins, other women that you know that you believe could be helped by tonight's show. We're going to get into some really deep subject matters, and I can guarantee you, if there's 100 people on tonight's call, I would guarantee you that probably 90 of them have experienced some form of sexual abuse. Some form of sexual abuse or something that was always told, hush, hush, don't tell no one, sweep it up under the carpet. And those are the things we don't want to talk about. But tonight, guess what? We're going to talk about them. And you can listen in. You're more than welcome to dial one at any time on your dial pad and make a comment or ask a question. This is an open forum. You don't have to announce who you are. By you calling in and us bringing you in the studio, we won't announce who you are if you don't want to be announced. If you want to announce yourself, feel free to introduce yourself before you start speaking, but we won't announce you. Some people feel very sensitive. They're still having overcome certain life pains, and they don't want to be, they don't like to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want people knowing about it. Or maybe they're in fear of hurting someone's feelings if they begin to share their story, and that could be any one of you, but tonight we will be talking about those things. Tonight's desire is to open up the closets and lift and shake the rugs. You know, the skeletons in the closet, we're going to open them up and let them all fall out. There's no more space there. It doesn't even leave room for life's events that will take place, because we know life is full of events. And if your closet is so full of yesterday's stuff, last year, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years stuff in your closet, you don't have space for nothing else in your closet. Amen? So we're going to open up those closets today, and we're going to begin to pull those skeletons out the closet. We're going to lift those rugs. You know, we always brush us up under the rug. Don't tell nobody. And we brush it up under the rug. And so tonight, the goal is to raise up those rugs and shake them good. Get that stuff out of there. Open the closet doors. Let the skeletons come out. Because guess what? One of the things we know, especially as believers, is that Jesus is the light and the light changes things. How many of us know that as long as the lights are off, as long as it's dark, you can't see? We can't see when it's dark. And as long as it's dark, we'll never be able to see. So what we're trying to do is we're going to begin to cut on some light switches. We're going to begin to cut lights on in certain situations that we've been in the dark for a long time. Why? Why do that, Coach D? I heard somebody in the spirit saying, why do that? Let bygones be bygones. Just move on with your life. Well, guess what? You tried to move on with your life for the last 30, 40 years, and you still not accomplishing what you were created for. How many of us have tried to start businesses or try to do something, try to get into a healthy relationship, and we couldn't, every time we get somewhere, we get a wall, a brick wall, and we wonder why. And then we start questioning ourselves, is something wrong with me? Why I can't have a successful relationship? Or is something wrong with me? Why I'm always getting fired from jobs? Or is something wrong with me? I mean, I just can't seem to get along with anybody. You know, and if you're truthful, some of this you're going to be able to relate to. How many of us have dealt with that? Well, what if I told you that? Maybe there's some bottlenecks from your past that you have been unwilling to deal with, unwilling to face, unwilling to heal from, that's causing you to be unsuccessful in your now. There's a definition that we hear for insanity, and it says insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, I'm going to take that a step further, because insanity is holding on to your past and your now. And what's now? Now is 0 to 5 seconds. That's right now. When did I say that? Now. I said that now. So right now. This is your now. And when we hold on to things in the past into our now, that's insanity. Because what it does is it creates all kind of feelings. If you were offended in the past and you're holding on to it now, the same emotions that was married to that offense in the past is going to live with you right now in your now. And if it's living with you in the now, that means you're still operating in a spirit of bitterness. You're probably still operating in a spirit of anger, frustration, resentment, regrets. So it ain't just all about sexual abuse. So I'm not going to make it. It could be anything that happened to you in your past that caused you to hold on to it in your now, that's causing you not to be able to be successful, that's causing you not to be able to live an abundant life that Christ has said, that he's given us life, and he's given us life more abundantly. So tonight, we want to take a look at some of these things that could be it. Now, I may be speaking about, specifically, I may be speaking about sexual molestation. But your thing from the past could be anything. So you just replace sexual molestation with whatever your thing is. You know, it could be anything. Maybe, you know, maybe you did something when you were a child. Maybe you did something when you were a child and you never overcame it. You never you did something you never told nobody, but you know that what you did caused maybe somebody else great pain and suffering. Okay? And you did that and you just been living with it. You never forgave yourself. Of course, I'm sure you never asked the other person to forgive because they probably don't even know you did it. But it's little things like that that we'll hold on to for the rest of our lives that will torment us, because it comes with the tormenting spirit, and it'll torment us. And so whatever that thing was when you were, you know, back in your past that you did, and we're talking about past, we could go back to when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, and we could bring that all the way up to last year. Maybe you were in a relationship last year or the year before last, and you cheated. Well, that's something that, and did you, you know, you cheated. And maybe you cheated for whatever you felt like was the circumstance and situations, but after you did it, you felt lousy. And you may not never even got busted for it, but you felt lousy. You felt miserable. You begin to feel guilty. And if we're not careful, those guilt will turn into condemnation. And what does condemnation do? Condemnation causes us to run away from God. conviction causes us to run towards God. And a lot of us, even in our relationship with Christ, a lot of us have been walking this walk, spiritual walk, for many years as a believer, as a Christian, and have had not a lot of success. So meaning we're walking this walk, this Christian lifestyle, and every time we turn around, we're falling off track. We're backsliding. We're falling. And we're trying to figure out why. God, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to do your will. Why do I keep falling off track? Why do I find myself having to constantly turn around and repent and get back on track? And I'm not saying that the life would ever be perfect, but I'm just saying sometimes you got to stop and you got to take a look at the root cause. What is the root cause analysis that's causing me to do this, that's causing me to do that, that's causing me to fall, that's causing me to fail, that's causing me not to be successful? When you notice a pattern in your life, when you notice that there's a certain pattern. For me, and I'm going to be transparent, failed relationships was the thing for me. I just had failed relationships. I've had, a couple of marriages that wasn't successful, and of course I've had just relationships that weren't successful. They were failed. And after my marriage had dissipated, I really had to start taking a look at me. And I may have told this story before, but for those of you that have not heard it before, it may be a great thing. But I had to stop and take a look at me, and I had to ask myself this question. And I didn't ask myself, but I began to seek God because I wanted to hear from God. Lord, why I keep failing? Why I can't find the right guy? Why I keep getting guys that's just not meant for me? And asking him this question, the question he proposed back to me is, Denise, what do these guys all have in common? And quite naturally, as many of us do, because it's easier to point the finger. So quite naturally, my first thought was, is they're all losers. They're all losers. God, that's what they all have in common. And then I heard we're having this conversation, and then I heard his stern voice. It was like he repeated it. When he repeated it, I heard the seriousness in it. And it was the voice of saying, stop. I want you to seriously take an internal look at yourself and answer that question again. And with sadness, I had to respond. And the truth of the matter was, is that the only thing that all these failed relationships had in common, all these guys had in common, were me. I was the common denominator. And as painful as I may have seemed at that moment, that was the truth. And we always hear people say the truth shall set you free. The revelation of the truth is what sets you free. I'm going to repeat that. The revelation of the truth is what sets you free. The truth alone don't. Because until you are sure, until you are convinced that it's the truth, then it's just going to be the truth. I say that because many of us have sat up in church 10, 20, 30 years under the truth. The true word of God goes forth in most churches. And we set up under that word, and yet our lives didn't change. And yet we didn't stop sinning. And yet we didn't stop shacking. And yet we didn't stop sexual sin. And yet we didn't stop drugging or drinking or boozing or getting high, whatever that thing. We didn't stop doing it. But yet we set up under the truth. So that's why I say it's the revelation of the truth. And the revelation of the truth is when you finally say, aha, I got it. I get it. I see it. I see the perception of the truth, the rhema word, not the logos, not the letter, but you see the spirit of what that truth is. And when you see the spirit of what that truth is, then you can begin to operate in that truth. So for me, the revelation of the truth was, Denise, you are the common denominator between all these failed relationships with all these different men. Now, what are you going to do about it? So now I got the revelation of the truth. My next phase is, how do I want to handle this truth? I got the knowledge of it. So how do I want to handle it? How do I turn this truth into wisdom? How do I now apply this truth so that it becomes wisdom and I can operate and walk in it? Well, I will have you to know that in that truth, it begins to reveal other truths about me. Because, see, this wasn't about, this season right here wasn't about my ex-husband. It wasn't about, it wasn't about my ex-husband. It wasn't about my ex-boyfriend. It wasn't about these exes. But this was truly about me. How do I fix me? How do I prepare myself to be a better woman? How do I prepare myself to be a better wife when that time comes? How do I prepare myself to just be a better person? And so I had to begin to take some ugly looks at my truth. Well, during the process, one of the things that was defined and determined is that there were some things from my past that was dictating my now, even in my choice of men, how I handle relationships, how I communicated. And because in my past, I grew up at 0 to 7 years was traumatic for me, because the 0 to 7 years is where I've seen a lot of domestic violence. I've seen a lot of important women in my life being physically abused by their spouses or by their boyfriends. And because I've seen that, it began to define, or for me, it began to define who I was. And what I determined in that 0 to 7 years is that I was going to never, ever get my butt whooped by a man. And I'm just keeping it real. That became my reality. I'm not going to be with no man that's going to be jumping on me, because I'm going to beat him up before he beat me up. So what that did, what you think? What it did is that as I began to grow and turn into a young woman, my mentality was, is if a man was going to get loud, if he was going to act in any type of threatening tone or body language, immediately my thoughts were, oh my gosh, I got to get ready. I got to prepare myself. I got to get him before he get me. Now, some people might say, oh, girl, you crazy. And some people may be laughing. But this is real. This is real stuff, because mm-hmm. each one of us got some stuff that we ain't dealing with from our past. Things, learned behavior from our culture, our authority, our reasoning, 5 senses that we learned that we still operating in, and we still failing. We're still not being successful in these endeavors that we're trying. We're still trying to wonder why we're not experiencing the full promises of God. And this is this ugly stuff about ourselves that we got to begin to weed out, that we got to begin to identify and recognize, ooh, I got this issue. Now I need to start fixing this issue. And it's like anything else, a drug addict, a sex addiction, a drug addiction, anything. Until you admit that you have an addiction, that there's a problem, then you can't get it fixed. Many of us have been molested at young ages. And we, that happened. Whether it was an adult or another kid or a teenager, whatever. And that one experience may have caused many to become promiscuous, because they experienced something at an age that they weren't mentally and emotionally ready for, and now that feeling, that thought, that interaction has now determined their relationships and their interactions. Some men can't even perform. Some women can't even perform because of their past. Many women, you hear this all the time, where women get married and now they're in counseling with their husband because they didn't get it fixed before they got married. They knew they had an issue. It ain't new. You knew you had this issue because you're still dealing with the trauma from your past that now have you not trusting men. Well, guess what? If you have a situation from your past that's causing you not to trust men in your now, you don't have no business getting married. Because now what you're going to do is compound the situation, because now you're going to take your issues from your past, bring them into your now. Now you go get married to somebody else that probably got issues, and now y'all got a bunch of issues, and you're trying to figure out why he cheating on you, or you trying to figure out why you don't want this person to touch you, when this is stuff that should have been worked on. I often say, and I see a lot of on social media, dating sites, all these different things where people are on here, everybody looking for somebody. Everybody want a relationship, those who don't have one. Everybody wants this knight in shining armor. And so now they begin this, what they call the dating game. I'm dating this person. I'm dating that person. I'm dating this person. Oh, that person's a trip. Oh, that person got issues. Oh, that person was a stalker. And we just go through the deck. Do you know how many people are on these websites that never, ever did a self-inventory, a self-reflection, never did a root cause analysis on their own self to find out why my last relationship didn't work and why the relationship before that didn't work? Because it's so much easier to say, well, you know why my husband walked out on me? Because he was a loser. He was a jerk. Now, it's easier to say that. It's easier to blame somebody else. It's so much easier to be a victim than it is to be a victor. Because in order to be a victor, you gotta put the work in. And you gotta be willing to be honest. You gotta be willing to have a revelation of the truth. And the truth of the matter is that oftentimes, now I say this and I gotta back up a little bit, because I know somebody, I hear every time I hear it in the spirit, I just heard in the spirit somebody saying, well, I was a victim. At 5 years old, I didn't ask to get raped. I didn't ask to get molested. And so to you, I say, I get that. You are a victim. There's no way that a child, so that you need to release too, because there's no way that a child, has any type of authority or decision-making when it comes to some adult taking advantage of them. So that you are, that in that case, you are a victim. But now you're not a child no more. So you're still holding on to that same four-year-old mentality of being a victim now that you're 40, because you never processed through it. And guess what? You still got to process through it, whether that person who did something to you ever apologize, whether that person that did something to you ever acknowledge it, whether you ever see them again. Some people, the person who did something to them, a lot of people, the person now dead. The person dead. They've been dead and gone for years, and you still holding on to that pain. So I'm saying, sometimes, it's not a sometime, it starts with us. I had to begin to work through the process, work through me, and begin to forgive some things that had happened to me that were really kind of out of my control, especially as a young child. It was totally out of my control, but I had to begin to process that, and I had to realize I'm not that child, that little girl that lives inside of me that acts out, that throws temper tantrum, that's ready to cuss somebody out or argue or be angry. I had to relieve her, because the anger that she had was to protect the child, and she's still trying to protect a child that don't exist no more. So I had to relieve her. And sometimes we have to make a decision to bury that thing of the past, to be done with it, to say, you know what, this is it. Today is the day. Today is it. I'm letting that thing go. I'm letting it die. I'm burying it. And I'm burying it, and it will not resurrect again. That thing that happened. Minister LaDonna, are you in the studio?
I am.
Amen. Good evening to you. I want to step back, but I wanted to just set the scene and speak to that about us taking accountability and about us putting things in perspective and about us learning how to you know, through God and through the Word of God, begin to heal ourselves, and be willing to be open and be willing to shine the light on some dark areas of our lives, whatever those dark areas are, to begin to talk about it. Because when we don't talk about it, when we keep it a secret, when we keep the closet door closed, when we keep the rug down, that stuff builds up. And I'm telling you, it's a bottleneck. You cannot live free with all that stuff boggled up in you. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, of course, I'm just getting into the call. I had a few issues, and I'm now in a place where I can connect with everybody. So I want to say good evening to everybody. Glad that you're joining us for this show. And, yes, we are talking about subjects that are taboo. A lot of us growing up in our households, we couldn't, you know, most of us didn't even know what depression was. We may have saw our parents going through depression or somebody in our family going through depression, but we didn't have a name for it. We didn't know what it was, and it just seemed like a normal part of life, a normal process. Some of us who have gone through molestation, it seemed like it was just a normal part of life, a normal process to life. This is just how life is, and that's just something that happens. Keep on kicking and continue living. A lot of us had to deal with maybe somebody sick in the home. Maybe your family was taking care of an elderly person who was sick, and your family members didn't know how to process their emotions around it. Like sometimes when you have to take care of people who are sick, you get angry, you get upset, you get envious of your other family members who are not participating and helping take care of that family member. And those people in that household, they're the ones who feel the effects of all of what's going on. There's just so many subjects, so many different things that growing up we didn't talk about. A lot of times people don't talk about mental illness, and most of the time people don't even talk about death. These are all taboo subjects. And that's some of the stuff that we want to get into on tonight, because what happens is when we don't talk about these things and we allow our children that are growing up to feel like it's just a normal part of life, it's just the way that life goes, we are instilling in them to continue in the process of not addressing and resolving these issues. Not getting help. And when they're not getting help, they're continuing that cycle. And it's affecting the way that we're living. Like Coach D said earlier, it's affecting the way that you go out and you choose your mates. It's affecting the way that you go out and you choose your job. A lot of us have dead-end jobs, and we won't do any better. We can be smart as a whip, but we won't do any better. Some of us may even have great, and it's not where we want to be, but we are sticking there because we feel like we have to be there. We feel like we feel a great sense of having to perform. Where is that need coming from that you have to perform? You have to be at the top of somebody else's list. You have to be what other people envy. You're finding that you're not even happy there. Although you're making tons of money, you're not doing what you really want to do. And again, this all stems from things that occurred when we were younger, these taboo subjects that we weren't allowed to talk about in our homes that are now affecting the way that we live our lives today. The biggest thing that, Coach G, that I wanted to bring out is death. You know, I started a new position, and in my experience in this position, I've come across a lot of people who are now widowed, and they're sharing their experiences of maybe their husband being in charge of everything, and they never talked about what would need to be done if something were ever to happen to the husband. And now these women find themselves at this time in their lives, maybe they're, of course, I come across a lot of elderly people, and they're finding themselves at this time in their lives stuck and unable to take care of themselves and not knowing the first thing to do in order to start putting steps in place to find financial information or just continue their way of life, just continue living the way that they have been living. And when I came across, started coming across these experiences, I had to start thinking about, did we ever talk about death when we were younger? That was something that most people were afraid to talk about. Most people will go through life without ever getting life insurance. They think that it's unnecessary. And one of the biggest things that someone said to me while we were, you know, while I've been in this position is that they didn't even have the opportunity to grieve because they had to find out. They were stuck in this position where they had to find information. And so they were scared. They weren't able to grieve this person that they spent most of their life with. And they weren't prepared to be in this place where they are now. And what I'm finding is that most people, we don't talk about that subject when we're young, or we don't prepare our families for what are we going to do just in case. We have so many taboo subjects that are in households across America. And when we don't make a safe place in our homes to address these taboo subjects, and we're sending our loved ones out into the world day after day after day to encounter all of what's in the world, no wonder why people are getting depressed. And they don't know what depression looks like. They don't understand what depression is because we don't talk about it. And then all of a sudden you find a family member or a loved one committing suicide. And you're like, I wish they would have reached out to me. I wish I would have known. I wish, I wish, I wish. But you don't even know. You're wondering how come you didn't recognize that they were depressed, or how come you didn't recognize that someone close to you was going through a mental challenge, a mental illness. You just thought they were crazy. Crazy in the sense of, oh, that's just normal. That's just normal.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
We have these cycles that are now, it's rampant now in today's time and in today's society, where you're seeing the effects of all of, but people don't even realize what they're dealing with. And so, like you said, Coach D, if you don't address what the problem is, you're going to continue in that cycle, and you're never going to resolve the root cause of why you are where you are today, dealing with what you're dealing with today. You talk to some young women and speak to them about molestation. Some people didn't even realize it was wrong. They had, like you said, older cousins or older family members. They just thought it was cute when they were younger. And now they're at this point in their life where they're realizing, hey, you know what? Something was wrong. Something went on and it wasn't right. And we don't know how to deal with these things. And we need to better prepare ourselves and our loved ones in order to be able to deal with these things. Or else we're going to continue. You look across social media and you see so many people that are dealing with sadness. You see so many people that are dealing with unhappiness. And I'm going to tell you, if you have to alter your picture to make it look better, or if you have to go out and fix a body part to make it look better, that's a sign of being unhappy with something about yourself and who you are. And anybody can say whatever they want to say. You guys can be listening right now and say, I'm not unhappy with me. I think I look great. Well, if you thought you looked great, then you wouldn't alter the picture. And what other people think of you is more important, actually, than what you think of yourself. Amen?
Amen. 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 That's common, you know. So common. When you said that, I had to say, ouch, you know, because we do. I think we alter the picture often. And again, you know, when we see there's a pattern of things that we find ourselves doing, you know, and it's a pattern. And that could be anything, anywhere from like what you just spoke, Minister LaDon, or, you know, relationships. You know, normally, you know, if you see a pattern of something, and I would say that a pattern normally is attached to a problem.
Yes.
To an issue that has to be looked at and taken a look at. And like you said a key thing that I didn't bring up in the beginning, and I think it was a good point that you touched on, because one of the points you touched on is that a lot, you know, there's many people that's running around that don't know they have a problem because they thought it was normal. You know, people, I listen to people now, you know, I listen to people that cuss and fuss, and they've been doing that all their lives. And they don't see anything wrong with cussing. Why? Because that was the norm. That was the norm how they were raised. That was the norm how they was brought up. That was just common language. And so that's the way they talk. And they think that that's just the normal way to talk. So if they got around people that was able to hold an intelligent conversation without using profanity, that's just like, I'm sure that's kind of like a shocker, because that's the norm. If you said something that if the norm in your family was that folks were sleeping around with each other's husbands and carrying on, you know, and all that kind of stuff was going on, guess what? That's the norm. It's not right, but it was the norm in the family. Now, let me do something else with that. We say that was the norm, so you didn't think it was okay. You couldn't have thought it was okay. Let me tell you why you didn't think it was okay. Just because it was the norm didn't make it okay. And the reason why I know you didn't think it was okay, because you weren't going to go tell nobody that you were sleeping with your uncle. You know, you weren't going to go tell somebody that you were sleeping with your brother. You're not going to go tell people that because you know it wasn't okay. And even though that thing was, you know, even though those things were going on in a household, and I'm not, when I'm saying this, I'm not saying this to Minister LaDon or myself. I'm giving an example. But even though those things were going on in the household, and you know, that you accepted it. You accepted it, but you knew it wasn't okay, because those weren't the things that you were going to sit down with your girlfriends when y'all laughing and talking. Those weren't going to be things you were going to talk about. That's the stuff we're talking about, the skeleton in the closet. You know, the brushing stuff up under the rug. Because you done went and told mama, or you done went and told auntie that this person did this to you, and they didn't want to do nothing about it. They didn't want to act on it out of fear, whatever that fear was, or either out of fear or maybe just not caring. And so they brushed it up under the rug. And nobody talking about it. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to talk about it. It's going to follow you, and it's going to manifest some kind of way in your life. Do you think people just like being drug addicts? I bet you, if you had an opportunity to sit down with a group of drug addicts that were just sober enough that they would be able to speak, and I guarantee you that there's going to be some things from their past, I'm talking about way past, I'm talking about childhood, that they will begin to share with you that determine and dictate their drug abuse now.
Mm-hmm.
Because people drink in abundance, people do drugs, abuse drugs, or alcohol, or sex is generally to cover up another pain.
Yep, it's a way of escape.
It's in a way of escape. I used to kiddingly say, life is for people. I used to say this, life is for people who can't handle drugs. Because, that wasn't drugs wasn't my thing, but I had some other things. But I used to say, life is for people who couldn't handle drugs. And I couldn't handle drugs. So I had to deal with life sober. And I had to deal with the pains of it. And so I guarantee you again that there's something attached to that, the covering that pain, because it's easier to stay numb. It's easier to stay loaded. It's easier to stay high than it is to deal with that pain of the past. And that's why we got to deal with it. Another thing, the only way you could be tormented in your now from something in your past is something that you don't shine light on. I can remember when I first moved back to California, and I can remember I was really in a painful part of my life. I had just, like I said, me and my husband had just separated. I had just had a newborn, moved back to California, and I was in a lot of pain, going through a lot of thoughts, a lot of things. And I can remember my goddaughter, she had me listening to Lauryn Hill, her Unplugged album. And that album began to become my, it really ministered to me through a dark time. And you never know how you're going to get ministered to, but it really did. And one of the things she said on her Unplugged album was that, she learned with the paparazzi, she began to learn that as long as she was trying to keep something a secret, that they would harass her, they would stalk her. I mean, her life was miserable. And she said when she finally figured out that if she just told them it would be no more interest, she said she began to tell them. When she would get pregnant, still trying to keep it a secret, she would just tell them. Well, that became my life because I began to go through and look at some things in my past, and I began to say, guess what? I'm not holding on to this stuff no more. I'm just going to tell it because the devil is not going to have a foothold in my life. He's not going to have me hostage to bad choices and bad decisions that I made in my past because that's what he'll do. You do something in your past. You didn't experimented with drugs or you did something, that thing you ashamed of, and you trying to hide it, and he torments you with it all the time. He torments you with it because the fear of somebody finding out that you used to do that is more devastating than the act itself. And so we'll hold on to stuff and try to, and he'll keep us hostage. He can't keep me hostage. Coach D tell everything. Sometimes I have my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ say, you know what? Ooh, you bold. Ooh, you tell us so. Some people tell me you say too much. I don't say too much. I ain't got nothing to hide. And I'm just telling them because guess what? The devil's not going to hold me hostage to some stuff that Christ already died on the cross for.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny you said
now,
that during the training that I was conducting today, I picked up someone's computer, the bottom part dropped off of their computer, and so everybody else in the class was like, oh, you broke their computer or what have you. I was like, no, I didn't break it. It was like this. I'm just going to put it down so that they can take care of it when they come back. And one of the attendees said, well, do we need to tell that person that you messed with their computer? I said, no, you don't need to tell nobody anything. I'll tell them myself. I don't need nobody to tell them this. So I was like, I'll tell them myself, So, yeah.
Hallelujah.
When you try and hold things in and you're not getting help or you're not expressing those things are what's shackling you. Those are the things that are keeping you from living the life that you want to live today. Some of you may have set goals consistently, and you're like, why am I not reaching my goals? Why am I not living the way I want to live? I have this great desire to do it. I have this that I want to do. I put these steps in place. I get this plan together, and I start, and then for some reason I don't seem to be able to make it to the finish line. There's some issues. There's some challenges. There's some things that are going on inside of you that until you begin to address those things, they're holding you back. They're stopping you. you will never be the you that you want to be until you start releasing some of these childhood traumas, these taboo subjects. They can't be taboo for you anymore.
Yes. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. Behavior. I'm going to tell you, behavior. It does it all the time. You could, I'll tell you one thing. I could look at a person's behavior, and I could tell you by looking at their behavior, how they carry themselves, what's important to them. It's going to tell me about that person. You know, it really is. Because if I see somebody, for example, I'm just giving an example, and if I step on your toes, hey, just say hallelujah, ouch. Because what I'm saying is just the real stuff. Because when I look at a person, for example, I'm on social media, and I see somebody that's posting pictures all the time where they half naked, you know, cleavage hanging out, always got their butt in the camera, different things. That's going to tell me something about that person. Because, see, they don't do that because they're confident. That's not a spirit of I feel confident, I feel good about me. It, to me, speaks a spirit that says, I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I'm hurt.
The attention of others.
I'm sorry, Mr. LaDon, say that again.
I need the attention of others. Like other people's attention is what's going to make me feel happy or make me unhappy. They post these pictures, and then they're trying to see, how many likes did I get? Who said what?
Right. And so, you know, so you do. Rather, you know, when you walking around and you're holding on to a lot of baggage, don't think that somebody that's conscious, you know, you might get somebody else that's unconscious and they don't see it, they don't know it, you know, they'll feed into the ego because they unconscious. But when you get somebody that's conscious, they can see your hurt. They can see your pain. They can see your brokenness. They can see all of that. We think we're fooling people, but we only fooling ourselves. It's almost like I remember when I used to smoke cigarettes. I was a cigarette smoker for many years. And after I got to a certain age, especially as a believer, I didn't want people to know that I was still struggling with the addiction of nicotine. And I can remember I would go hide somewhere and smoke a cigarette, and then I would try to spray perfume and come back. And I thought I was fooled because I didn't think I smelled like cigarettes. I didn't wash my hands, do some gum in my mouth, and spray some perfume, and I thought I was hidden. Guess what? I'm not a smoker. Haven't been a smoker in a few years now. And guess what? When people do that now, I can smell it immediately. I can smell when people are trying to hide cigarette smoke, because when you're not a smoker, you can smell that. So the person, so it made me realize how foolish I was, because I thought I was hiding something from people, and people could smell it, you know. And so the same thing with our stuff. With our stuff that we not dealing with our stuff we choose not to deal with, we hurting, we dying daily. You know some information you that you don't want to. Oh, I don't want to say nothing because I don't want to hurt such and such feelings. You know what? Sometimes we might have to hurt somebody's feelings to get them whole. We might have to hurt somebody's feelings to get a heal. You know, Minister LaDon, and I'm gonna step back, but somebody posted a thing yesterday, and I mean the guy got a lot of responses because his question was there were some teenage boys who watched this man die in a pond. The man couldn't swim, and I think he had a disability. I'm not talking about mental disability, but I think he had another disability. He couldn't swim. And these teen boys watched him and videotaped it, and then posted. Wow. And the man had been missing for 3 or 4 days. His family didn't know where he was at, and then all of a sudden, one of his family members seen the video post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. The video showing the whole incident of the man dying, and asking, you know, drowning and asking for help, and them laughing and talking about, you know, no, you shouldn't have got in there, dude, blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. So the question was, what do you think these gentlemen should go to jail? So my response to that was, my heart and spirit says yes, but my mind and my soul says no. And I said that, and I got a lot of rebuttals, and I get it. But I was saying that from a standpoint that let's look at the big picture. The big picture here is that they didn't break the law. This was a moral. This was an issue of moral, the lack of moral values. This was an issue of the lack of compassion. So I was saying that to say, yes, it was cruel. Yes, it was a lack of compassion. Yes, it was a lack of moral. You know, maybe they should be, you know, have to do community service or go get counseling or anger management, whatever. But for them to go to prison, they didn't break the law. And there's nothing in the law that says you got to help somebody who's dying. That's a moral thing. And what bothers me is when our people that don't serve God, that don't want to acknowledge God, that don't want to follow the commandments of God, that don't want to follow the word of God, but then when there's a moral issue like that, everybody want to jump on the bandwagon about what should be done. Well, the thing is that you guys are contributing to and participating in a society that has no moral compass. So when people do things that's immoral, why are you so offended? Why are you so shocked? Because you contribute to a society that's immoral.
Yeah.
And now you want to send them to jail for being immoral?
We desensitize ourselves to certain things and make things okay. Like it's okay to cheat. Mm-hmm. Everybody, all men cheat. It's okay to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to go through molestation. Everybody goes through it. It happens in everybody's family.
Yeah. Get over it. That's what I said. Get over it.
And when we make ourselves, you know, you can watch somebody getting beat up. It's now funny. They videotape it. Made a lot of money off of it. But you're not addressing why that behavior is happening in the first place.
Preach it, minister. That's it. And then when the church comes and try to give solutions to the problems, nobody wants to accept the solutions because I ain't religious and I don't trust the church. And they get, you know, they got all these things when the church is saying, hey, we got to put prayer back in the school. Hey, we got to put God first. And the church is coming up with these solutions, but the world don't want to receive the solutions. But then, yeah. That's a whole nother show. We got to do that. That's going to be a whole nother show. A whole nother show. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, again, we just, this whole show is about making sure that you don't continue the cycle. Stop the madness. Stop the cycle. You don't have to keep living with the same circumstances of yesterday. Your life can change today, but the only way that it's going to change today is if you take some time to address those root causes. And the first thing that we have to do is start by looking at ourselves and looking inside. Like Coach D said earlier, if you're ending up in the same type of relationships, you know, you're 42 years old and each relationship you've gotten into, your mate has cheated on you. You have to turn around and look at, what am I accepting? What about me is saying that this is okay? And when you stop making those things okay, when we decide to stop making those issues okay or those issues normal and start saying, you know what, this is not normal. This is not okay to live like this. That's when things are going to begin to change, and that's when things are going to begin to happen. Because whatever you accept or whatever you deal with, that's going to be
the way that you live your life.
Yes. Whatever you tolerate, you accept.
Exactly. Whatever you tolerate, you accept. Whatever you tolerate, mm-hmm. you accept. You were 15 years old and got molested for 3 years. You didn't know what to do about it. You didn't know how to stand up and say no. But just think about if you would have cried out or screamed out or stopped tolerating things. And so because of that issue, now whenever you get into any challenges, you just tolerate it. You just tolerate it. You just deal with it. And you're wondering why. You take it back to that issue of being 15 years old. And that's why you're still dealing with people abusing you or using you. Because you learned how to live with it. You learned how to deal with it. You learned how to go through it. Now you need to learn how to fight something. Amen? Dee, are you still with us?
Amen.
Amen. So I think that Coach D is no longer with us, but I do want to ask if anybody has any questions or comments, that if you'd like to press 1 on your dial pad, and our team will know, and they'll be able to bring you in for making a question or comment.
Amen. Amen. Sorry for that delay. The delay action. I had my phone on mute, but I am here. Amen, though. Amen. Again, as Minister LaDon said, you know, Minister LaDon, while we're waiting to see if someone have a question or comment and dial one, I want to just read something really quick. And I think this is a good thing to leave us off on. And I know that everybody that listens to our show may not necessarily be Christians, and that's okay. We never said that this show is just for Christians. Women to Women is about empowering and encouraging women. It just so happens that both of the women who host this show are Christians, are believers. So our what we speak, what we talk about, our base is always going to be biblical, because that's who we are, and we believe that it encourages and it inspires others. And so I just want to read this, because tonight's topic was pretty harsh. It's telling us to deal with some harsh realities of who we are so that we could begin to change us. And when we begin to change us, it'll change the things that's attracted to us, because it's called spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. And there's some spirits that have been deposited into you from an early age that you haven't dealt with. And as long as those spirits are there, they're going to attract like-minded spirits. It's called, it's hitchhiking spirits. And it's familiar spirits. So if you dealt with whatever in the past, and you haven't dealt with it, then those spirits are still residing in you. Have you ever wondered why you lust? You know, why you just got to, ooh, I just lust. I just, ooh, I always thinking about sex. I'm always doing something that got to do with sex. I'm always, everything. Why is that? Do you think people just want to walk around being perverted? No. There are some spirits attached to you because of something that was deposited in you. Spirits are transferable. And so if somebody did something to you, they transferred the spirit to you. Now you walking around with that spirit, and if you never dealt with it to begin to remove that spirit, then guess what? That spirit is still there. There are some things from my past, and I know it now. I'm conscious of it. I've dealt with it. But guess what? If I don't be careful what I give my attention to, those spirits will come back and live inside me. Those spirits will begin to torment me. Those spirits will have me make decisions and choices that I would not ordinarily make. If I'm not careful, I could be out there doing my thing. If I'm not careful, I might walk in somewhere a certain way that's not part of Coach D's character. You know, if I'm not careful, it's just like a drug addiction. If you just if you clean and sober from whatever your choice of drug was, you know that if you're not careful and you start bringing yourself around a certain environment, that you risk lapsing. You risk going back to that old familiar way of doing things. It's called familiar spirit. And a familiar spirit, you could be holy, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That familiar spirit recognize what spirits have left a print on you. They know that. They know the thing. The devil know that thing that's going to get you stirred up. You know, you can listen to an old song. How many of us saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we could listen to some old songs, and they'll take us back to exactly where we were when that song came out. The emotions of it, the feelings of it, who you was digging at that time and what you was digging at that time, all that stuff will flow right back up in your soul. Not your spirit, but it flows back up in your soul. It brings back, the soul is where our emotions are contained. And they'll bring up those whole old emotions. And before you know it, you finding yourself doing something. That's why we be seeing, you know, before we know it, we be hearing about, you know, pastors and leaders who got caught in hotels. We've been, you know, having sex with prostitutes or doing drugs. And people say, oh, I knew he wasn't saved. No, he was saved, spirit-filled, loving the Lord, serving the Lord. But somewhere he slipped up and gave his attention to the wrong thing, and them familiar spirits will come and gangbang you. Them familiar spirits will come and jump on you. And before you know it, you're doing something that you had no desire to do, that you never thought you would have done again, but you're doing it. It happens. And when you're not conscious of it and you choose to go unconscious, a lot of times, you know, you hear people say, gosh, I know I did that, but I was drunk. It wasn't my fault. I was drunk. Well, because a substance, it causes you to go unconscious. It causes mm-hmm. you not to be conscious and alert and aware of your environment. So a lot of us could do, under the influence, a lot of us could do some things that we normally wouldn't do. Because it causes us to go unconscious. So I know we're at the end of our show, Minister Ladar. I just wanted to read Psalms 91. I just thought this was a good scripture to leave off on for those who are dealing with some of the things we spoke about today, for those who are hurting from pains of the past, for those who are insane. Yes, I'm calling you insane because we have already identified that insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. We identified that insanity is holding on to your past and your now. So if you're doing any of that, guess what? You're insane. But there's hope. There is hope and there's a way out. There's deliverance and you could be made whole. And it is hope. And it starts with you. It starts with you, like Michael Jackson so clearly said. And I don't know if he was a Christian or not a Christian, but that song was profound when he says, it starts with the man in the mirror and asking you to change your ways. You know, and that song, if you just listen to the words of it, I mean, not just, you know, but just the actual words of it was really prophetic, because we do have to start with the man in the mirror. We got to like ourselves. We got to learn to love ourselves. We got to be okay with who God's created us to be and not who a circumstance or situation made us to be. So Psalms 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see with the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on lions and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledged my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Ooh. Amen. Amen. That was awesome. That was absolutely
Amen. Awesome. Amen. Amen. Again, we just want to give any of our callers the opportunity to dial one on your dial pad if you have a comment or question about tonight's show. If you missed a part of tonight's show, or if you want to share tonight's show with someone that you know was unable to listen in, we will be posting a link to our social media pages that you could go back and listen to the show in its entirety. We love you. We always thank you for coming and supporting Woman to Woman, MCD, and our network of shows. We just really thank you, because without you, there is no us as far as our show. So, again, we want to thank you, and we just want to ask for your continued support, and we want to ask that you invite others. If the show's been a blessing to you, please invite your other neighbors, sisters, cousins, family, female family members that you think, or friends that you think could benefit from tonight's show. Minister LaDon, that's all I have. Do you have anything else in closing?
No. Well, actually, I do. You know, this show, I would encourage everybody who is going away from this show, knowing that we spoke to some things that are going on in your life or going on in your heart, make sure you take the time to set time aside for worship. Make sure that you take the time to set time aside for reading the Bible. One of the things that I've learned in life is that most of the time we get into situations based upon our own knowledge and information. And so just utilizing our own knowledge and information, it's hard for us to get out of those situations. So you need a higher power. You need help. You need support. And that first higher power, of course, starts with God. You may not know how to begin to start addressing the things that you're dealing with, but that scripture that Coach D read was so key. Make sure you're turning it over to God. Make sure that you're taking those necessary steps to say, you know what, Lord, I want to do something about this. I need to do something about this, and it needs to start today. Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, again, we thank you all for joining us on tonight, and we look forward to you joining us next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for another episode in addition to Woman to Woman. And we hope that you tune in on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. Again, know that you are truly loved and appreciated.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Diamonds to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman,
woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for 'em.
da 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 day. Whoa.
Now woman to woman, songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman.
It's broken. Oh, okay. Cause Friday, I don't know. I don't know if Talisha have to go to work. I'm not sure if she's supposed to go to, if she has to go to work or something. But I think she was saying she got, cause she gets every other Friday off. So we were talking about going to see Girls Trip Friday, but early, like Friday afternoon. We're talking about early though. Like around noon or one or something like that. Derek is leaving. He's leaving Friday morning or Friday by noon. He's leaving. His dad is picking him up Friday at noon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then awesome. He won't be back until Monday morning. I'm gonna get ghost. And take advantage of, it says the connection between your access point router or cable modem and the internet is broken. Okay, I think it might have been fixed now. Okay. This does just a lot, and I don't know why, and I don't know if I just got too much stuff in one place and the cords be knocking each other out or what. But, So that's what I was saying. I think she was talking about Friday afternoon, and I don't know if you're not working or you should sketch your schedule. I didn't know if you want to go see it.
You know what? Could you just be at 12 o'clock? And how long is it?
Well, no, I know Derek leaves at 12, but I'm not sure what time she was talking. But I'm thinking she was saying in the afternoon. So I don't know. I got to find out what time that is because I'm not sure if she works or not Friday. I asked her, and she said it's her short day, so I'm not sure that when she says short day, that means the day she's off or she gets off early.
Okay, well, let me know. Because
okay,
I will. Have to
as soon as I find out.
Yeah, so just let me know.
Okay, I will. Once I find out from her what time, and then I'll let you know.
Okay.
Sis, well, I love you. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, love you too.
Okay, bye-bye.